This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a very special episode of PS I Love You XOXO live in Denver, Colorado. We just so happen to be at the Denver, Colorado Road to PlayStation event, and I'm very excited. How are you, Pride of Long Island, Colin Moriarty?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. It sounds like they're pumping in like noise like they do at Broncos games. It's funny.
Oh. And you wonder why Colin doesn't come to more events. Over there, the pure one, Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim, for joining us. This is what, your second PS I Love You XOXO?
Technically third. I did one third. With Shuhei, and then I did the E3 thing. E3 press.
We only bring you out for the biggest shows.
Oh, no.
Who's familiar with PS I Love You XOXO? I was so clear not to raise your hands, and I saw you do it. I saw you raise your hand. And you gave me a t-shirt earlier, and that doesn't mean you get away with raising your hands. If you're allowed to say you're sorry, I'll accept that apology. Thank you all for your support. Of course, if you didn't know, PS I Love You XOXO is kindoffunny.com's PlayStation podcast. It posts every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. It is the number one PlayStation podcast on the internet. So go subscribe on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Colin.
Yes.
I have been without you for quite some time.
I know.
Oh, and that doesn't happen often.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. I'm mesmerized by this disco ball, this inordinate
so
kind
do,
of...
Do you know why the disco ball is there, Colin?
In this particular venue?
Yeah.
No?
Because last night, there was a Pokemon-themed roller derby where they would...
That's awesome.
No! Missed it.
Where was the Invisimals Pokemon Derby? Where were the Invisimals events?
So they would let you get alcohol, and then they would put it in a sippy cup so that you could roll around and not spill it.
That's cute. I like that. This is a cool venue.
No, it's a very cool venue. It's a very cool event. We talked about it before. Mm-hmm. We actually went live with the show, which I'm sure I'll put up anyway because I'm just that kind of guy.
What?
You switched hands like you're about to touch me.
Do you want to touch?
I'm ambidextrous. Again, we haven't been together in a week.
I know. Stop so kissing me.
You're so touchy.
Oh my God, I don't like...
What
That's
do you
the
like?
Second time you've kissed my arm in like...
Technically the third, because you called me on it the first time on Colin and Greg Live, and then
That's true.
Kept doing it.
That's true. I'm mesmerized by this Last Guardian thing, too. It's like, it's a real game.
The Last Guardian is happening.
Oh, God. Over there, Horizon, if you're listening to the MP... And that's the thing, if you're listening to the MP3, or I guess if Kevin hasn't spun around to the back... What's happening with the Road to Greatness, right, is that PlayStation's traveling the entire continental United States with this truck, showing off cool games. And it just so happens that a duo named Brian and Aaron sent in an awesome video to get them off the beaten path to bring them to Denver, Colorado, to give you this exclusive event. And so in the back, there's a whole bunch of PlayStation VR units. People have been playing PlayStation VR, PlayStation 4. PlayStation View is over here. No one seems that interested in it because it's PlayStation View. I'm kidding. It's because it's the Olympics. Nobody cares about the Olympics. Just give up on them. No, stop
it's
doing
true.
It.
It's true. It's sad because it's
Who's
true.
Played PlayStation VR here? I don't know how I feel about the wooing and the hand raising, but I appreciate... Okay, anyways. Who likes PlayStation VR?
Yeah!
Who's like, eh? Woo! Totally am about it! All right, great. Yeah, I am. No, I'm super stoked. They have Resident Evil here. I haven't done the Resident Evil E3 demo.
It's scary.
I've heard that. I did the kitchen demo way back in the day, mm-hmm. and then they got Batman Outside, which was my E3 game of the show. Mm-hmm. Everyone should try to get into Batman VR. And then they got Riggs here, too, because somebody was complaining about Riggs making them sick.
I've been talking to a lot of people over there. They're really liking Drive Club in VR.
Oh, yeah, they got the sleds here, too.
And I'm getting a lot of good words about my favorite PlayStation VR game, Until Dawn. Rush of Blood.
Rush of Blood. Yeah. One fan.
It's fantastic.
This woman loves Rush of Blood. So, Colin, we've been apart a long time. A whole week.
Not long enough, some might say.
How many PlayStation games have you played?
A lot.
Baker's dozen!
Oh, Jesus. I didn't expect that.
I was very naive. This is a special episode. I need to give the people what they want, the cheap pops.
You know, I've been playing, I was messing around with No Man's Sky, and I'm just like, nah. You know,
no, really?
It's not for me. It's just
Dude,
not for me.
That's been the hardest thing about being away for so long, because Tim and I went Sunday down to Austin for Rooster Teeth, did a bunch of shows there, then went to Chicago for Let's Play Live, now we're in Denver here. And I did the thing where Saturday, before we left, I dedicated the day to No Man's Sky, where I'm like, I'm finally going to understand what's happening. Because I've been doing 20-minute chunks here and there, 15 minutes, and I was like, this seems like something I might like, but I'm not giving enough time. And by Saturday night, I was packing, and I'm like, do I pack the PlayStation? Am I going to be that guy that brings the PlayStation, and then like after things, I don't go, I just go back to the hotel room and play stuff? And then I was like, do I bring the PlayStation and my game screen and plug it in on Virgin America and play on the plane?
That's so dangerous, dude, because the power goes in and
out. I know, and that's why I talked myself out of it. Yeah. But that's how into No Man's Sky I got on that Saturday, and I can't wait to get back to it. Who likes No Man's Sky? Who doesn't like No Man's Sky? I like this audience. They're getting it.
Yeah, they're
getting it. Over in the back, the Flash shirt was like, I don't like it. Woo! Like, no, now they're doing the booze. Good job.
Yeah,
did it click for you?
No, I mean, I only put a few hours into it, but it was actually, I was talking to a few people when we were just hanging out, that it was when I was showing the game to Erin, and she was like, and I realized, I was like explaining, and I'm like, oh my God, like, I don't think this game's for me. It's fine. I'm glad that, you know, I like Sean Murray. I like those guys. I wish them the best. I've been playing a lot of Headlander.
Headlander, yes.
Which is a fantastic game. It's a Double Fine game. It's a Metroidvania.
And, Psychonaut shirt right there, redeeming himself. There it is, a Double Fine shirt.
And,
shout out to Tim Schafer.
I highly recommend it. It's like this 70s aesthetic. It's not very hard. It kind of reminds me of Severed in the sense that it's just kind of there and it's easy, like, but you just are experiencing
it. It's a Metroidvania.
The style
of
it, though, is really cool. We did a Let's Play over at Double Fine.
Kindoffunny.com/... Nope, that's right. Nope. You can go to kindoffunny.com, but you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Yeah.
It's been a long
I really liked how you could, like, there's so many different gameplay elements, like you can put your head on the dog or put your head on the weird mannequin robots or whatever.
It's cool. I mean, if you're into downloadable and kind of cheaper games, and you should be because that's the future, then...
Who's excited about the digital future?
Yes. You guys have good internet in Denver. You should be fine. So I highly recommend it. It's a great game. And then I've been messing around with Downwell. I can't.
Are you good at it yet? That's
no.
been your whole thing for a while.
I can't stop. I can't quit you, Downwell. You know, like, it's just, I was on the plane this morning coming from San Francisco, and I was just looking at my Vita. I put it in the pocket, on Virgin America.
Oh, yeah.
By
they
the way.
A perfectly sized
by
Vita
the,
pocket.
I bought a pair of cheap headphones, right, this morning. I've lost, like, 8 pairs of earbuds this year or something like that. I have no idea where the fuck they're going. I bought this pair of earbuds, and you know on Virgin America how they have like the slot for the audio that's like, it's not in the front, it's on the side.
Yeah.
At the end of the flight, I like got up, and then I like went back down and I just snapped it.
The guillotine.
So I got to get 85 minutes out of those headphones, which was nice. But I was staring at the Vita, and Downwell was there, and I was like, you know, I got to keep going, and I'm not getting any better at it. And then for some reason, as I was telling you before, I was playing Sunflowers again.
Sunflowers,
does
great
anyone,
game.
Does anyone have the game Sunflowers on Vita? It's like a really old Vita game. It's, as far as I know, and I'm actually curious if anyone can tell me otherwise, because I can't think of any, it's the only Vita game that makes you play it sideways. Can you think of any other game that makes you hold your Vita?
Makes you start the game sideways?
Yeah. Like, it's kind of clever. It says, like, the game's logo, and then it turns sideways to, like, show you, like, you're...
No, Sunflowers is great. Everybody should pick up Sunflowers.
What is Sunflower?
It's a very simple kind of, like...
It's an iOS port.
Yeah, it's a kind of an iOS port of, you, like, have, like,
Vita.
6 seeds on the ground, and then, like, you water them with, like, clouds, but there's, like, lightning. Well, it's a very straightforward kind of game. You're collecting flowers. I have no idea where the fuck I'm playing it. But it's good, and I like it. You know, and of course, games aren't really games until they come to Vita.
Exactly.
So it's the same thing with everyone's excited about Deus Ex Go, and I'm like, that's all fine and good.
Yeah.
Let me know when it comes to Vita, and
I'll tell you
what's
a great game, Hitman Go. It was a great platinum.
Yeah, Hitman Go's great.
Maybe one day we get the Deus Ex. Maybe we get one day the Lara Croft.
Yeah.
But until then, they're not real games. Stop wooing them, Kevin. You don't get to woo games that aren't on Vita yet. You know the rules of your employment. Kevin is the GoPro, though. He's the best guy at all of the Go games.
So how do you guys feel? You know, I was in Kevin and I were in San Francisco having a romantic week, and you guys were in Austin at Rooster Teeth, and then you went to Chicago.
Right.
So
Tim got to pop his overcooked cherry.
I did.
Who plays overcooked? Everybody who didn't woo is screwing up. Yeah. Overcooked is awesome. You all should play it.
I won.
You won, which is
easy to pick up. I was a little worried about it because I hadn't played.
Explain what Overcooked is to them.
Playing in front of 3,000 people.
What's with Let's Play Live making us play games we've never played before? They roll me out on stage in Los Angeles like, you're going to play this. And I'm like, I have no idea what it is. Well, then I almost win. And the only reason that I lost was because of Nick. Because he's terrible.
It happens.
No. Come here. Nick, take a microphone. Nick, if I remember when you lost Ultimate Chicken Horse at Let's Play Live... Ladies and gentlemen, a round of applause for the producer/seducer, Nick Scarpino. When you lost at Ultimate Chicken Fight, it was because you didn't have Killer Instinct. You didn't want to make the move that needed to... There's no cheating in a game if you can make the move.
That crowd,
just like
it wasn't cheating. That crowd was already hated us. That crowd already
Screw,
hated us.
But they hate us in the way we're wrestling
I would have
villains.
Been murdered on the way back to the hotel.
You had the shot, my friend, and you didn't take it.
That's true. I could have cheated and won, but I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to win like that. I'd rather lose with
that's
dignity.
Not, that's the
Did the Americans cheat when they won hockey in 1983 or 4 or whenever they did that?
It was 1980, and no, I don't think that they cheated.
Exactly. It was just good strategy, Colin. Did G.I. Joe cheat every time they beat Cobra? No.
No, the Cobra cheated a lot, though.
They outsmarted him.
Yeah.
Anyways, I won in Overcooked.
Explain what Overcooked is.
I didn't need to cheat at all.
Bye, so Scoot, Nick.
It's a game where you have to cook, and it's one of those kind of like they keep adding things... On you have like there's a timer and that's stressful enough, but then you'll see like three little onions equals onion soup up in the corner. So you need to run, get the onion, chop it up, put it in the pot, get another onion, chop it up, put it in the pot, another one, put it in the pot, put it on a plate, deliver it to the waiter, and then they bring it out to the people. That
but you have a limited
simple.
You have a limited thing of dishes. The dishes come back dirty. You have to wash.
You have
the
to
dish.
Wash the dishes.
If you leave something on the fire too long, it burns.
And then you're on the back of a truck or something while this is all.
Yeah,
happening.
Then the stages get crazier and crazier to where like there's a haunted house where things are moving. You got to you can't move. Yeah,
we went to space at some point. It was a whole thing. We had
Overcooked is awesome. A lot of people are sleeping on it.
But what's fun about it is it's a really 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 fun co-op game because you kind of play with two people and it's like, all right, you chop the onions. I'm gonna go grab the mushroom. Hit the green button to make the thing move. It's like it's a very hectic fun experience. Definitely, we need to do more Let's Plays of it.
Sounds like you guys grab the mushroom, indeed. It's a psychedelic mushroom joke, I'm sorry. Thank you. Someone over here got it.
We're in Denver, Colorado, home of the Crystal Bassoon.
That's true. Good for you guys.
Colin.
Yeah.
Have you played Bound?
Yeah, I did. So
I played about an hour of it when I was in RT. It's a weird game.
Yeah, I was, you know, we had Vincent Genito on the last episode of PS I Love You, which I think went live on Tuesday.
And every Tuesday at 9 a.m.
And I was telling him, he was like, you know, we were talking about Bound a little bit, and I'm like, I played it for like a half an hour, and I was literally, I can't play this.
Well, I don't even know anything about Bound.
It's the new Plastic game, so Plastic are the guys at the Polish Demo Scene studio. They don't really make games. They made Linger in Shadows, they made Datura.
Yeah, yeah.
And remember, we were really excited about Datura for a while.
Yeah, and then we played it. Great ideas.
So it's cool. This is more of a game, but you're basically like it's like a third person, I don't know, adventure game maybe. But you're like dancing around basically. It's a cool idea, but as I was playing it, all I could think about was that like I wanted to be playing something else, and I'm trying to be true to that feeling. You know, like
sure,
it's like how it was with I Am Setsuna. Did anyone play I Am Setsuna? Oh my god, I'm so disappointed in you guys. I Am Setsuna.
One guy in the back really played it.
So I platinumed I Am Setsuna, and it's a fantastic Japanese role playing game, kind of based around Chrono Trigger, and the whole theme is like sorrow and sadness. It's an interesting game. And
it's a calling game.
Yeah, it's a very calling game. So I was like, I kind of want like to get sucked into something like that again, and so that's kind of what Headlander was doing for me. And we have Deus Ex. We got it like last week. I think is it out now or it comes out next week?
No, the review embargo's up. But it's not out yet.
I started playing that, and it just wasn't scratching into itch. I'm kind of like in a space. Like I'm waiting for like a few random games to come out.
The Batman Arkham Collection.
BioShock Collection.
Yeah, BioShock Collection.
But Ubisoft came over. The very last thing we recorded ever in the studio, in the old bedroom, basically, is a South Park Let's Play for Fractured Butthole. That game is awesome.
Yeah.
It's I was really, really, I was laughing out loud. It was funny. The combat, did you play? Did you go hands-on?
No, we did. Tim and I got a hands-off demo at E3 where we watched a lot of it, but I didn't
play
it.
The combat is really cool. Yeah. It's, everything is the same except for the combat,
now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Fire Emblem.
Yeah, it's like Fire Emblem.
Really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it's simplified. It's not as complicated
yeah,
as Fire Emblem.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that it works for it, you know?
Yeah. So I mean, that's one to keep an eye on. I was reminded about how much I loved Stick of Truth, you know, because that
of
game
course.
Is so fantastic.
Of course, yeah.
So, I mean, there's a few, you know, I'm kind of just like picking and choosing as I go. Somehow found myself playing Sunflowers, so that's what I'm going to keep playing for a while.
I ran into a hurdle on the plane.
Yeah.
And finally had to stop playing Galgun. I was like...
Yeah, you can round of applause
the joke
that,
has been fun for a while, playing Galgun double piece on the Vita. But now I gotta stop. And part of it was Tim's girlfriend Gio watching me play it. And I was like... It's like I got...
I think she was most upset that it didn't go as far as, you know, we'd all want it to.
Now, you say that, but I had, of course... I think maybe afterwards then activated the DLC costumes I had, a lot of torn clothing, a lot of bows.
That's a weird-ass game. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves.
It is a weird game. It reminds me of when Monster Manpiece came to Vita.
Yep, we
were at IGN, and I was playing that, and I'm like, I can't put, I can't in good conscience do this in public because... It
Greg
just doesn't
can.
Seem right. Yeah, Greg doesn't. Greg
doesn't
no
care at all.
I almost brought a second screen to play video games on an airplane. So yeah, I have no shame. Except now, where I've decided it's we've hit the point, because it's just the same thing over and over again. They're trying to these people are demon hunters. I
it's
get
life,
that.
Though. Just
it is
trying
life.
To make girls orgasm over and over again.
Well, that's one. Yeah, I mean that is life. That's part of life for sure. Love and sex stuff.
Every Monday, 9 a.m.
Except the last two. That's what we've been playing. Now, you, ladies and gentlemen, have been playing all sorts of stuff here. Two people are excited about the things they've played.
Two people played things.
What's awesome, I feel, about this Road to Greatness event is the fact that Road to Greatness is a great idea. Let's get a Mack truck, drive it around, have a whole bunch of cool games. But Sony then opens it up and says, send in videos, we'll go to four places off the map. You guys are actually, this is an insult to Denver, so take it as you will, you're off the map. They weren't coming here to begin with. They're coming here because of two people who sent in a video that then the video was good enough that they came to see them. So ladies and gentlemen, the only reason you're here right now watching the show, playing these games, is because of Brian and Aaron. Please put your hands together and welcome them to stage. Take a way bigger bow than that. This is all because of you. Standing ovation, ladies and gentlemen. Please sit down. Share a microphone because they only had four microphones.
I'm going to lick it first.
You're going to lick the microphone. As somebody who licked a PlayStation Vita at E3, bad idea. Don't do that.
I won't.
A lot of germies on it. It's working.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, you here?
Yeah, okay.
How you doing, Aaron?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Thank you for coming.
Oh my God, thank you for having us, please. So the idea was that you guys people were going to send in videos. We help promote people to send in the videos. And if those people who sent in videos were kind of funny fans, we could come out to them. And you guys were kind of funny fans, so we got to come out to you. And then it turned out the other three people were kind of funny fans as well. And we're like, that's a lot of travel. We can't do that. We're five people. So I want to start with the Road to Greatness thing. So for you, how does it start? Do you hear about it through the blog, PlayStation blog, Sid Schumann, and then decide to get into it, or how's it go?
I saw it on the PlayStation blog. It's, you know, a website I hit up about every day. And the last 2 years in a row, I remember seeing the PlayStation truck and thinking, like, man, that's sweet. We got to get that. and they missed Denver both of those years, which, can we get a boo for that?
You fit right in.
Yeah, command of the audience. Okay, I've established dominance. So, I just said, you know what? I'm not terrible at shooting videos and editing videos, so, hey, let's see if we can make it happen. And, you know, they said they were looking for, you know, either something really funny or a story to tell. And I was like, I literally have a fantastic working marriage because of PlayStation.
So explain that to everybody.
So
Because does that start in the dating phase? You're having a bad first date, and then it's like, but how many trophies do you have? And the light goes off.
Doesn't... Well, it's like, you know how everyone says that, like, marriage is all about communication? Marriage is about work and, you know, being together and all that stuff. All of the things that marriage is about happens if you are playing Rainbow Six Vegas together.
Yeah.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
Take that, Dr. Phil.
Once you can look over and say, okay, I've got my two buddies over here. They're watching that door. My girlfriend is sitting on a pile of C4 by that box, and she's not going to move. I can go do whatever I want. And I was like, I got you.
I trust her. I trust her to sit on that
trust.
C4.
I did.
Until a dirty terrorist comes through the door.
And I blow
and
them
then
up.
Boom. There we go.
Boom. And so, yeah, we just kind of had this natural way of communicating anyway.
Yeah.
And then he got me into hardcore gaming. Like, I was just kind of a casual. I was a dirty casual gamer.
We call them filthy casuals.
I'm kidding. I love casuals.
Filthycasual.com.
So I was just kind of like, I plan to play games sometimes. And then, like, I went to his place, and I was like, oh, you have, like, a huge TV and what is this square?
Did you
thing?
Walk up and try to touch the TV?
No, I didn't do that. I didn't. I know better. So he kind of got me into it, and I'm like, gaming is more than just like Mario and Yoshi and all of this stuff. And so,
oh, baby games.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I was kind of like a meh gamer, and then the first thing he sat me down, he's like, just sit down and play this Oblivion. You'll love it.
Oh, wow,
and
yeah,
here
Oblivion,
I am.
Sure.
Like, now we game every single day.
Can I tell your slightly embarrassing Oblivion story?
Oh, yeah,
I'd love
let's
to hear
put
one.
That on the internet.
Just
let's do that.
One lead
it's
in.
A teeny tiny
like,
bit.
Like, instantly, Greg is like...
All right, so...
Do tell.
She was sick, and so she was going to stay home for, you know, the whole day. I still had to go to work. I can't sit and, you know, teach you how to play all of Oblivion in the 15 minutes before work, so...
Right.
I say, okay, well, just, you know, start a new character. Here's how to start a new character. Here's the basic buttons. And go. So I go off to work. I come home. She's sitting in front of a tavern somewhere in Oblivion.
I'm behind the bar of the tavern.
Yeah.
Crouched.
And she's just sitting there. And she's looking at the screen, but she's also kind of looking off doing other stuff. And she's not even holding the controller. And I'm like, what are you doing? Aaron, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, well, I have to wait. This mission requires you to wait till midnight.
Yeah.
And I was
like... And
it's
only like 6 p.m.
Yeah.
So I have to wait.
Yeah, I only have to wait
That's
six
awesome.
More hours. I'm like, how long have you been here? She's like, 3 hours.
And I died like, four times trying to get there.
Oh, my God.
So
did you
I kept
know?
Dying, so I had to wait again.
I was like, sweetheart, did you know that there's a wait button? And...
changed my life.
That could have been the moment when she never played video games again. But she's a real trooper, and she ended up,
promo.
I think she beat Oblivion before me,
I
actually.
Did. I'm better than you.
And,
yep.
So, yeah, that's her slightly embarrassing Oblivion story.
And that was new. Like, all of it was so new to me.
Sure.
Like, you know, I'd played some like, movie, like Lord of the Rings. You like Lord of the Rings? I bet you'll like this game. And I'm like,
licensed games.
Licensed games, you know, dirty licensed
they
games.
They never go wrong.
No, they're all good. Getting into Oblivion was like the first time I'd like played an adventure game in an RPG, and I was like, oh, this is where I want to live on my couch in front of my TV, and good thing I'm sick right now is the only time you ever say that. So, yeah, I'm better now. I know how to access like controls.
How long have you guys been together?
10 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah, 2 days ago, the 18th was our 10 year. Yeah. Yeah.
So then was it? I mean. I'm assuming that it wasn't a weird idea at all when he came. He's like, hey, what if we made a goofy-ass video?
Oh, no. By 10 years in, like, you're just like, want to make a movie? And you're like...
What kind of movie?
Wait a minute.
And you go, like, hey, let's make a video. And I was like, 4. And it's like, oh, PlayStation's doing this thing. Because I get most of my video game news...
From him.
From this guy.
Right. That's
and I get most of it from you guys.
Kindoffunny.com.
So I'm good, a third party to a lot of things, which is fine. But he told me about the contest, and I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds amazing. Do you think we could win? And I don't know, maybe, probably not, but let's just do it anyway. And here we are.
Yep.
That was really it. We just threw together the movie, just being honest.
Do you guys
honest.
Want a beer? Nick brought beers.
You can't have beer. Yeah.
Do you want one?
I don't beer.
Okay.
I mean,
what do you
pretend.
What do you drink?
Anything but beer.
Nick, I need anything but beer.
Apple cider, go. Give me a hard cider.
I need anything but beer.
Angry Orchard.
Angry Do you have Orchard. A preference?
Angry
Orchard, she said. Yeah. She starts at.
Yeah, I'll drink with you guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, drink break.
Yeah, we gotta.
It's very parching up here.
Gotta make an order.
I don't think that's a verb. Thank you. Colin, is that a verb? Parching?
I don't think so, no. But we are well above sea level, so you're gonna get drunk faster.
Yeah.
That's true.
The benefits of Denver.
That's right.
I gotta say, like, I was surprised when we saw the places that had won that contest. Are we allowed to say which places they were? Because Denver's...
Yeah, it's Denver, Pocahontas, Iowa, Long Island in Orlando.
So Long Island made sense to me, like Iowa made sense, but Denver was weird in the sense that I'm like, I'm surprised that they passed by. Denver's not like, what is it, like 600,000 or 700,000 people in this city? It's not a small city. It's actually as big as San Francisco, so...
Yeah, it's
so it was a little, I was like, I'm happy to come here. I love Colorado, actually, but...
Why do you love Colorado?
It's super scenic, dude. Like, I love, like, when the drive, which is quite long from the airport to Denver.
Sure.
But you see, like, this city against the mountains.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's kind of beautiful, you know? Like, it reminds me of San Francisco in the sense that, like, San Francisco, like, when people go there, they're like, wow, this is actually, place actually exists. It's just this roll, it's just this rolling.
Not this full house.
Yeah, it's like, there's, like, why is a city here? And I'm like, I really don't know. There's earthquakes and, you know. But it's like, it's beautiful. Like, topographically, it's very pretty. And Denver is the same way. I mean, you go to, you know, a lot of random, we go to a lot of places all over the country, and we've been all over the world. And I feel like Denver scenically is... You know, Colorado is lovely. The Rockies are awesome. So.
Agreed.
But I was surprised. There's like 600,000 or 700,000 people in the metropolitan area. I'm like, that's not a small place. Like going to Long Island, one of the places that won is Babylon. That's a town that's like, you know, 10,000 people. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But so I'm glad that you guys made the video and got people to come to Colorado.
Give a round of applause for making it come here for you guys. Here we go, Nick Scarpino to the rescue. Bringing this up, bringing more drinks. Everybody's parched. So, when you make the video, do you think slam dunk, we've got it?
No.
No.
actually, the funny thing was I got a call from one of the guys at the promotion company telling me that I was a finalist, but he really left that number open. Like, maybe there's 50 finalists, maybe there's 100, I don't know. And, you know, you just asked some questions. And then I didn't hear anything back for like 3 or 4 weeks. And then he sends me an email and he says, make sure to watch Colin and Greg live today because we're going to be announcing the winners. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to log on. I'm going to see who beat this video. I'm going to see how amazing these videos were. And we were the first on your video.
And he was saying like, it's weird. Like, someone else named Brian and Aaron put in a video for Road to Greatness. Isn't that weird? I'm like,
yeah, just for one moment, because the screen was black, but it said Brian and Aaron's Road to Greatness, and I'm like, man, what are the odds?
What are the odds?
I feel like that's the only time anyone ever asked someone to watch Colin and Greg live. How did you convince Sony that was...
I just don't think they'd ever watched the product before. Because that was... I mean, if you want an episode that really epitomized what we were, it's that we... watched all the Road to Greatness videos, and then the internet failed. And I was like, oh, thank God we got through all of them.
Hopefully we don't have that problem in the new studio. Super excited about the new space, by the way, to show up. A lot of people have been asking about it.
Oh, yeah, everyone's talking about it.
Yeah.
Don't know. The Venn diagram of PlayStation Kind of Funny fans, pretty much a circle. So I was like, and we're moving into a new studio? And like, Monday, can't wait, 12-hour stream. I'm like, yeah, well, you know a lot about
me. Whoa, yeah. Yeah, and by the way, I'm staring like longingly at this horizon... You know, thing we were talking about this—the Last Guardian thing over here to our right.
Yeah,
you know, still don't believe it actually exists.
Is the Horizon cosplayer still out here too?
Yeah, she's amazing.
There she is. Come up here. You need to come on stage and show this off.
Yeah, she is.
Kevin, don't pan yet. Kevin, eyes on me, Kevin. I want her to come on stage and then you give her a reveal. All right, hold on. She's hidden now. Pan, Kevin. Pan with all your heart, Kevin. Look at how great this is. Hi. Yeah, take a microphone. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
My name is Allison. I go by Alley Cat.
Okay. Now, Is this something you made on your own?
I made everything except the plates, the three plate pieces. I made most of it by hand, actually.
How long did it take?
I documented it. It took me over 75 hours of labor.
Jeez Louise. It looks amazing. Congratulations. It's awesome.
Very cool. And for a game that's worth it, is that playable here by chance?
Sorry?
Has anyone played that? Like, is that here?
They did the E3 demo, though.
Oh, okay. It was amazing. Oh,
you guys got to?
Yeah, we got to, yeah.
Oh, it's, your VIP status.
I have a V on my hand.
Whoa!
Come on.
Whoa.
Yeah. Almost. It's mostly washed.
It's, I'll say, man, like, I played it at E3 for a long time, and it's really, really good. Like, I'm super, super excited for, like, people to, like, really play it, I think.
Of course.
I really do feel, and I've said it before, and maybe I'll be wrong, you know, I'm wrong once in a while, is that I feel like Horizon can be the next really big IP for Sony for sure. It's like,
do you agree?
Really, it's a really, really cool IP. Yeah. It's a really, really cool game. I'm super excited.
Who thinks the next big IP will be the return of Patapon? Shuhei, you heard him. Denver, Colorado wants it. I'm going to take a photo real quick.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, I want a photo with you. We'll do it. Turn around. We'll do this. We're doing selfies. There we go. Hold on. Go to here. Go here. Do this. Go high up here.
Please don't fall off the stage.
Nailed it. Thank you very much. A round
Thank
of applause
you.
Again, please.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. I got kind of depressed when I was like, we were supposed to play it this fall. You know,
yeah.
But they need a little more time. It's so cool. It shows the diversity of what Guerrilla is doing.
Yeah. Is it as similar as when you got depressed about Final Fantasy this week?
Okay. Yeah. First of all, I called that one, but that was an obvious one. They should just delay that forever at this point.
Who's excited for Final Fantasy 15? Thank you, Colin. You can calm down just a little bit.
It's cool. It was announced when I was a junior in college. I'm 31 years old. No big deal. I'm sure it's going to be great. But apparently it previewed really well at Gamescom. I don't know if you guys saw that. A lot of people were linking to me in NeoGAF threads and
That's
stuff
great.
Like that. That it's apparently previewing pretty well. They need a little bit more time, I guess. They didn't get enough time, so I think they just need a little bit more.
Keep chipping away at it.
What's 10 years between friends? And people have been making like funny posts, though, when we've talked about this. In the time since Final Fantasy Versus 13 was announced, or was it 13 Versus? Versus 13. Uncharted 2, Uncharted 3, The Last of Us, and Uncharted 4 came out from a studio far superior to the one making Final Fantasy. So I always kind of felt
Now, for the record, that's happened with other games as well.
Yes, and this game. Same thing. But I have a morbid curiosity about Final Fantasy 15 because I do think similar to No Man's Sky, which I think is a good game, it's just not for me. I feel like Final Fantasy 15 is going to be no less than good, but I feel like it's going to be damaged, I think, by Persona in a way because Persona 5 is coming out.
Who's excited for Persona 5? That's what I like to hear.
Yep.
And Vince and I were talking, and I know it's a bold kind of thing, but you know, on PS, I love you, is that I'm of the mind. I really do believe it'll Persona will outsell Final Fantasy 15 in Japan. Whether or not that translates to internationally, I doubt it. But they have a game that this is the thing we were talking about, which I think Final Fantasy is going to suffer from. Let's say Final Fantasy 15 ends up in the 70s on Metacritic. I don't know. Maybe it's a great game. I don't know. Like you have to assume Persona is going to be in the 90s, right?
You think so?
So they're going to have this juggling act with a JRPG that's going to be, I think, and a lot of people maybe looked at as critically superior. Although maybe that game sucks and Final Fantasy 15 is great. I don't know.
Yeah, but, who knows?
But I'm curious about when a game is in gestation as long as this game, The Last Guardian, is, or Final Fantasy 15. You got to play it and you have a curiosity. But I don't think it's gonna. I think it's gonna disappoint people no matter what because people have these
expectations
built up over many years.
Yeah, a decade or if not more. Yeah.
I'm sure you have something to say.
I'm still excited for it. I mean, here's my thing. It's just like I have waited for it for so long that, no matter what, I don't think it's possible for it to live up to the hype. I'm not so sure it's going to be good like you are. I think it can be bad.
It's going to be good. Like, it's Final Fantasy 15 is going to be good. I don't question that. But
Noctis, son.
But when you have people expect
more.
I can't stop saying we thought No Man's Sky was going to be really good too.
Aaron, cut her mic.
I'm sorry. I know. Get her off the stage. VIP, no more. Cut off her hand. I've got like 30, 40 hours into No Man's Sky, and the first 25 hours were like, oh, scan the animals, look at all the animals. Yeah. And then you realize that the cracks really start to show after
same
about
gameplay
30
loop over
to 40
and over
hours,
and over.
Where you don't realize if you get to this point and you haven't saved this one thing, you can't finish the story. And we're like, oh,
the cubes? What the Atlas cubes?
Atlas stones.
Oh, Atlas stones. Yeah.
Do not sell your Atlas stones. Do not. Trust me.
Don't do it.
Or do and see what happens.
It's surprising the game lets you.
But we have that same thing, No Man's Sky, with delays and the flooding in the studio. And is it even going to ever come out? And the E3 2 years ago was so incredible.
Right.
And, oh, my God. It's going to be amazing. And then I feel that is something that I'm hoping isn't. Yeah. You look over and you're like, I've been waiting forever. That's going to be amazing.
This game's so part. The Last Guardian's so part of like PlayStation ethos. Yeah. That like we always talk about Ryan Clements. You guys know him. He works at PlayStation.
Who knows Plum Cider?
We always tell the story that when we did Podcast Beyond with him back in the day, he actually played The Last Guardian
at the reveal of the NGP.
At the NGP reveal event. So that was Vita's code name. And it was on PS3 and running all that. Like, it's so weird that game was in development for so long. This game is going to suffer from hype. I hope it's great.
Yeah,
I've always been of the mind that Team Ico's games have never been, you know, like, as like people love Ico. People love Shadow's Bosses. I respect those games. But I don't think they're, like, cream of the crop games. And so I wonder, like, are people's expectations too high for this particular game?
I mean, that's my... I love Shadow of the Colossus. I loved Ico as well. I got to play Last Guardian at E3, and it definitely, to me, lives up to the hype of what it has set out to be. The fact that it's taken so long to come out is going to damage it. I think the review scores, it's doomed in the reviews. But in terms of people's enjoyment of it, if you like Ico, you're going to love this game. It is very, very similar to Ico. Is it similar to Shadow of the Colossus? From what I played, no, which is upsetting to me because I preferred that. But Ico's great as well. So I don't know. I think that the people that want to enjoy this are going to enjoy it just as much as they think they're going to.
I will say this about No Man's Sky, though, real quick. Like, and it's to the point, like, I do feel like people are, like, reveling too much in, like, this game's, like, critical destruction and stuff like that. Like, why? Like, why are people so happy to see something everyone was so excited about, like, just...
Why does the internet always revel in horrible things?
But it's kind of shitty. Like Sean Murray seems like a good guy. Like,
he is.
I think this game was marketed improperly. I think it was shown too many times. I think it was overpromised. I think that's obvious. But I don't like people getting all this pleasure in watching this game burn.
Me neither.
Like,
with
a lot of people. I think it's so weird.
I still enjoy playing it. Like, I still put 3 or 4 hours into it every night.
Yeah.
I enjoy how it plays, and I enjoy the mechanics that are there. I find myself wishing there was more, wishing that this was different. And you normally with a really, like, I didn't think that at all with any of the Uncharted games. I mean, sorry, I'm a fanboy, Uncharted fanboy, but...
nothing wrong with
fanboy,
that.
But, yeah, nothing wrong with that. I got one woo. Good enough. My first
Do you guys like Uncharted?
Woo. Yeah.
Do you want me to call Neil Druckmann right now?
Yes.
I'm not going to do that.
He wouldn't like that.
Give me his number, though, right? No, I'm kidding. But I feel like as I'm playing it, I'm like, why isn't this just a little bit different? This is cool, but why isn't it just a little bit different? Or, oh, this is neat. Oh, I wish this had this in it. And I find myself like, I didn't start thinking that. It wasn't like, oh, I know that I didn't go hipster with it. Like, everybody loves this game, been waiting for it to come out.
Right.
I was mad excited. I was staring at the timer as it was like unlocking. Yeah. Just
isn't
like,
that the worst?
It's the worst.
Waiting on the blue PlayStation screen. Oh, it's got the guy like, oh, God.
Is it ready
please.
Yet? So I get that. I don't like the whole, you know, poo on it because everybody's really excited for it.
It's a crappy answer, and I'm not trying to make excuses because, again, I enjoy No Man's Sky for what it is now, but it is that, like, for me, I'm like, I want all the inventory slots. I want all my exosuit slots. And it's that thing is I'm doing it over and over and over again, and I'm building more of the bypass chips to go there to find the shelter. It is becoming this thing like, I'm having fun, and I'm, oh, there's gold, and I'll stop, and I'm like, this is a very static gameplay loop. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But what I always go back to, and I'm sure many of you are sick of hearing me say, but I hope I'm predicting the future, is that when Kevin and I... Woo! Kevin. When Kevin and I got to play it 2 E3s ago, and Sean Murray was talking about it, he was talking about it like he understood that he was copying Minecraft. And Minecraft's first release was, here's this world... No recipes, no nothing, hope you figure it out. And then slowly but surely it evolved into this phenomenon. I don't think No Man's Sky will be that successful, but I do think that in 6 months, a year, 19, 18, right. 20 months, we're going to have a much different game on our hands.
I actually think it's a lot like the release of Destiny, where Destiny was so hyped up, and it is a fantastic shooter, but those first 3 months were rough in Destiny. Like, they were really rough. I mean, 100%. The mechanics were there, but the content wasn't. And the content rolls out, and now we're coming into year three, and it's fantastic. And I think No Man's Sky probably has the same potential to hit that stride, but as of right now, it feels like there was a lot of content promise that might be impossible to deliver on day one, honestly. You know what I mean? I mean, the type of stuff they were talking about is way beyond any other game that's ever
I feel like they had to cut a lot out, you know? Hello Games, tiny little studio.
Yeah.
And I think they were ambitious, which I respect. The one thing I'm concerned about with people's kind of critical reception of it, not from like, you know, you got to call a game like we see, right? We say games suck all the time, and that's kind of like our job is to say if games are good or bad. But people keep kind of being mean-spirited about it. I'm afraid of like a chilling effect with other developers being like, well, we shouldn't be bold and ambitious. You just want a military shooter. You just want a side-scrolling, old-school, you know, pixelated game. And that's fine, but it's like, I just don't understand the mean-spiritedness about this particular game. Like, I predict that Final Fantasy XV is going to be good, probably not great. I hope I'm wrong. I hope people are like, you know, fuck you, Kong. Final Fantasy XV, game of the year, got 10s from all these sites. I hope I'm wrong. I want every game to be great. And, like, same thing with Last Guardian. Like, I think expectations are too high. I think it's been in gestation for too long, but I hope I'm wrong. Like, it seems like this particular game, like, there's Reddit posts and all these kinds of videos, and it's just like, these guys just tried to make a game. Like, I don't think there was anything like, they knew the game was eventually going to come out. What did they think? None of you would notice? You know, like, I don't understand. Like, so that kind of bummed me out a little bit watching that 100%. Over the last 10 days or so.
I think that's just a product of the internet, how sort of the squeaky wheels, you know what I mean? They're the loudest, and it's, I mean,
the vocal minority.
Yeah, there's millions of people who are enjoying it, who are playing it, like, at a slower rate and everything, but you know, the people that feel like they need to go on Metacritic and like bomb it with a zero, like, you know, they're willing to express their voice. And the people that are like genuinely looking at it like, is this a good game? They haven't decided yet. They're taking their time.
Well, and the people that like it are playing it instead of, you know, talking shit about
it.
Yeah,
we got better stuff to do.
We gotta go find planets and scan bugs and stuff. Like, I got stuff to do.
I think the problem with it is the Peter Molyneux thing of just the over-promising and this and that. But it's like, what's hard about that is like, you're right. They're trying to do something different. You know, it's like, yeah, they're going to promise a lot of stuff. And it might not happen when they say, might not happen at all. But they're trying, you know. And it's just like, I think that's something that you can be let down by it, and that's totally okay. But I do think that it's like you got to give them credit for trying.
Yeah, and there's funny images going around of Peter Molyneux, Sean Murray, and Todd Howard from Bethesda, of like with the Starscape of like these guys. And I'm like, first of all, why is Todd Howard on this at all? Second of all, Peter Molyneux is his own very special case. Yeah. Sean Murray's trying. Like, Sean Murray, like, you know, like,
totally trying.
Yeah, so, like, I don't get it either.
How much he cares. And that how much he cares doesn't mean that he's, you know, totally not allowed to be criticized. But I do think that there needs to be that level of, like, man, this guy obviously wants this to be amazing. You know, give him the benefit of the doubt. And when you're talking about Minecraft, like, yeah, let's see. Let's see what happens with this.
Yeah. And honestly, the game that they created is amazing. I mean, when you really put into perspective 18 quintillion unique planets, that's incredible.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's like more than two. But, I mean, the game that they made is incredible, and it's an incredible step forward for those kind of games. You know, it's not another cookie-cutter Call of Duty. It's not another cookie-cutter, you know, pachinko game. You know, it's not...
Oh, Konami?
Konami.
I wasn't even going to say it, but I know you know what I was
thinking. But who isn't excited for Metal Gear Zombies?
You're all going to buy
boo
it.
Boo that louder.
That's
what
the funny
this?
Thing is you're like, all going to buy it.
I'm not buying it.
Yep, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. You're not buying it either? Thank you, sir. He's got a camera. You can trust him.
You already have a Metal Gear game without a story. It's called Metal Gear Solid 5. You guys have
it. Oh! Bada bing! Brian and Aaron, I want to let you go, but I want you to explain. I didn't understand. Since you're the VIPs, since you made this happen, what all do you get?
Our prize pack walked off. I don't know where it is.
Shit, it's gone.
We get high fives and stuff. No, we got like a really cool prize pack, which thank you PlayStation for that. That's awesome. We obviously get to have a huge party with a bunch of friends in Denver. You know? Yeah. We got to bring 15 of our closest friends, 10 to 15, I don't remember how many showed up, 10 to 15 of our closest friends.
Five of you are like, nah, I'm like good. Five, yeah. Xbox fan
it's like
here.
Two.
And yeah, it's, like three are here. I'm kidding. But we got to have a really cool time, and it's just been fun. You know, like having a good time. Of course, we did it for selfish reasons. We wanted PlayStation to come here so we could go to the truck. We're selfish. Yeah. But it was also kind of fun, like just walking around and having people say, hey, thanks for winning. And I'm like, wasn't my call. You're very welcome. You know, like thank you. Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you for coming. You know, it's like, even if it was just me and him here, we would be having the same amount of fun.
Yeah.
It just, I don't think it would be, you know.
But if it was us here without winning, we wouldn't have a private booth just for
PSVR. That's right.
And that's what I really wanted to hit on. Because yeah. I've been talking to people like, oh, I had to wait an hour and a half. I got this demo. You guys have your own PlayStation VR booth that you can go play whatever you want in. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is pretty rad, which is pretty great.
It's a good way to make friends.
Yeah, it's great to walk up and be like, excuse me, VIP, this is not your, you need to go to number 9. Please. No. But yeah, it's been so fun. It's been weird.
Yeah.
Like the whole, like, reality star PlayStation filming you while you hang out at your house and eat food and stuff. That's a weird thing for us because
it's
like,
a little behind the curtain.
It's,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
It's really yeah. It's bizarre. It's like, okay, when you two go walk your dog, because we have a tiny dog too. That's one of the things I love about your show is your mascot is your tiny dog. We have a tiny dog too. And we totally play the Bruce Banner walking away scene whenever we have him go to his cat. Yeah, we sing it. It's like, oh, it's just, it's weird and it's fun and it's exciting and we get to play with you guys for the rest of the night, which is pretty psyched. I'm psyched. Yeah. Yeah.
Which, by the way, when you announced us as the winner, you would ask, what do you think the dog's name is?
Yeah.
And you would guess Shuhei. It's actually Dudley.
Dudley.
His name's actually Dudley.
Close.
It's not too late to rename him.
It's not.
But I have been,
from Street Fighter. There we go. Most people say Dudley Do-Right. No, it's from Street Fighter.
I have been calling him Shuhei since then, and she's been calling him Shoehead.
Because I thought
that's
funnier.
Yeah.
I have one broken earbud at work. I was trying to tune in while I was working. I was working, though.
Totally working. Your job was fine.
Watching.
As a 911 operator, you were totally focused on the
fine. Those children probably got out of the fire. It's fine. They're fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a round of applause for Brian and Aaron. If you see them out there tonight, please congratulate them for bringing this here to you. Thank you guys so much for coming up. Thank you. Congratulations again. Great video. Good taste in podcasts. Because they listen to us.
You know what's really cool, Greg?
Yeah.
Before you get to Nick, just a quick aside here. PlayStation is super awesome for doing, you guys know that, I'm sure.
We've said that once or twice.
Yeah, we've worked with them a year or two.
But it's super awesome for these contests and stuff to be able to make this stuff happen. Because like this reminded me, the only reason I'm doing what I do now, the only reason I got a job at IGN is because I won a PlayStation video contest to win a trip to E3. Got to go to E3, talked to Jessica Chobot. She got me a job at IGN randomly through people, and then here I am. So
true story.
Shout out to PlayStation. Shout out to video contest. I just made dumb videos. You can make dumb videos too. Then one day you could be here, and that'll be cool.
Nicholas Scarpino, would you like to come take this microphone? Ladies and gentlemen, we're opening up the floor to you. We'd like to have your questions and answer ceremony here. I guess line up around the cameraman here?
PAX style.
I don't know.
PAX
maybe?
Comic-Con style.
PAX Comic-Con style. Nick Scarpino's going to come into the crowd. Yeah, he's gonna go back behind the camera there, so we don't ruin the
camera.
There it goes. It's happening.
Nick, stand in front of the camera.
Just right there. Here. Nailed it, Nick. Thank you. That's exactly.
Should I ask everyone where they're from, or can we just assume everyone's from Denver?
A lot of people aren't from Denver.
Really?
A lot of people. Where's the couple that drove 6 hours? They are.
All right.
I didn't realize you're a trio. I didn't know it was one of those kind of marriages. I apologize.
Was it Grand Rapids?
You were saving the seats?
I guess closer.
Oh, so you didn't get, do you want to meet me? Oh, hey, I'm Greg. How are you?
Jesus. I'm Cornell.
Oh, God.
It's okay, Cornell. It's okay. Oh,
everyone
Colin,
relax.
Colin, look. He's wearing the Loot Crate Spock versus Evil Mirror Spock shirt.
Dude, I couldn't
Loot
stand
Crate.
That
slash
ad.
Kind
I
of
couldn't
funny.
Stand it anymore. All right. Well, you guys can wait.
This is Patrick from
Hi, Patrick.
Denver.
Hello,
Patrick.
Just from Denver.
Nice shirt. Do you know there's only 35 of those shirts in circulation?
Do you know this one's falling apart?
Oh, it's falling apart?
Yeah, it's got...
I'm sorry.
I love it.
It's because you dry it, okay? You can't dry the shirt. You gotta wash it on cold and hang dry it, and it'll be totally fine. Just put it, just hang it somewhere in your room. It'll dry in a day or two, and it's fine. Your wife, it's one shirt.
Do you know, Patrick, that we're doing an exclusive Portillo shirt this Monday on kindoffunny.com/store? All right.
We gotta milk that dog before he passes away.
He's gonna die soon. We gotta fucking put him on things.
What are you gonna do when that happens, Greg?
When he dies?
I mean, I have an animal that I love.
We're gonna do like a Superman kind of funeral. Like, where it'll be a week of mourning. We'll have armbands, that same red dog on them.
I want the Viking.
No, we're going to do a Viking funeral.
You don't get to decide. Neither you get to decide.
Well, unfortunately, I do.
We'll all walk down Powell Street in San Francisco and then put them in the ocean, and then you can do your fucking
Viking. And I wanted to shoot a flaming arrow at him. And
we got to stuff him, and then we got to put him on the mantle in a new place.
I wanted, like fighting
a cobra like Rikki Tikki Tavi. Yeah, remember that?
I wanted to take taxidermy classes. We'll stuff Portillo, and we'll put him in funny places. And he'll appear over
the ego thing. This is a little painful for you, right? Because you actually love the dog.
It'll be extremely painful.
Right now in this conversation, they're joking, but like you're like sitting there like.
Oh my god, dude! I was just talking about this one because I was watching Portillo.
Yeah.
For a few days.
Yeah.
And what a marvelous creature he is, and. Watching him and Lola at the same time is like...
I love the videos of like how Lola just like won't be around you guys. Yeah. She's all pouty.
Oh my god, she was so upset when we were watching her. when we were watching Portillo.
This is like a Kevin Smith Q&A, by the way, too. Yeah. It hasn't gotten to the question at all.
Can you tell me that Prince story again? I'd really like...
But what I was going to say was, we were talking about that, about how like authentically I don't want... That day's going to come eventually, right? And like Portillo's 11. And...
The only benefit to it is going to be that when Portillo dies, it will be a national emergency for all the Kind of Funny fans. Yes. Where every people like, if you were sad when I got cancer, when this fucking dog you love dies, it's over. You know what I mean?
I get you. For my own personal edification, right here.
Yeah there you don't go. Be afraid.
Get
of it. Get
on top
of
it. Is this good?
Nick, show him how to lick it.
You're too afraid here. I'm a nice guy. Anyway, you know a PlayStation is a computer, right? Like, it is a PC.
From what I understand, it's a computer entertainment system.
But I'm just, you know, like, I play PC, and I love you guys, and I'm so sorry that I don't do PlayStation things. But it is a computer. You know that, right?
Boo. Here's what I know about PlayStation versus a PC. On the PlayStation, can I do Excel? Can I do my taxes? Yes. Can I child predator? Yes. No, not a PC.
It's a computer.
Not a PC. Do I need to worry about my drivers and my video card?
Firmware updates.
And my fucking NVIDIA whatever thing. And then, hey, I got the fucking CompuServe guy coming by. I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Thank you for your answer.
I love you.
I love you as well.
We have Eli, also from Denver.
Hey, guys. Hey. So, Colin, this is for you. Basically, I want to know, of the two games that keep getting delayed, Last Guardian, Final Fantasy, which are you more excited to play, and which one would you possibly platinum?
I would say Final Fantasy 15 is probably the answer to both of those. I just can't.
No, I get it.
With Last Guardian. But I'm interested. I mean, I'm gonna play it when we get it, and you know, we'll get it probably a week or two early, and I'll give it a go. But Final Fantasy 15, I have a morbid and serious curiosity about Final Fantasy 15 at this point. It's been a very long time, and it's gone through a lot of different hands, directors, producers. It's clearly in trouble in some respects. So, you know, they had a big event in Los Angeles, which these two chuckleheads hosted, which seemed to be that they were secure in a release date.
So do we.
And then suddenly, everyone's like, that's undelayable. You know, like, that's the date.
Not even people, the directors on stage are like, this is the date we're going to end. Everything's great.
So I think the game's obviously not up to snuff in some respects. I think that that's clear. And there's been a lot of rumors, whether they're substantiated or not. I don't have primary sources on this. But the game seems to be not doing very well behind the scenes.
You break my heart every few weeks because I'm a Kingdom Hearts fan, and you remind me I'm screwed.
Oh, no,
and
you're never going to get that game.
And dude, you're not screwed. You're going to get an amazing game one day. That's the thing.
One day.
Final Fantasy 50, what? We don't know. But one day. Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to come. And Kingdom Hearts 3, we know, is going to be great. There's no reason to think that Kingdom Hearts is not going to be anything less than great.
Tangled. I'm so excited.
I think what's clear is that Square Enix's Japanese like AAA development is in trouble. And that's what we talked about on PS I Love You, is very smart and shrewd of them to invest in publishing with Eidos and publishing with, you know, their Montreal studio and publishing, you know, Crystal and all these kinds of things, like getting their hands dirty with Deus Ex and Hitman and all that kind of stuff, because God knows what the hell is going on over there in Japan. And so, except for with I Am Setsuna, but that's a Tokyo RPG Factory game. So I think Kingdom Hearts 3, at the very earliest, fall 2018, and I would say probably later than that. They're sharing a lot of resources, and it seems to be like an all hands on deck thing with Final Fantasy 15. So, and Final Fantasy 7.
God knows sorry, we're Tim. Get that
totally hard. Fine. Yeah. Everybody wants episodes.
You see the rumors going around where it's going to be March 2017.
Yeah, sure, sure.
All right, guys. No.
Did anyone give you the dank Yharnam Nugs yet?
The what?
The dank Yharnam Nugs.
No dank Yharnam Nugs yet. Okay. But it is legal here.
We don't know what that is. Is that something you put in your clear bassoon?
This is Matt from Utah.
Matt, that's an amazing shirt.
Of course. So, Colin, I know how you feel about Crash Bandicoot, and I know how you feel about it, Tim. So, what is your guys' bet going to be to decide if it's good or not, like when it comes out, like if it's good or if it's bad?
What's the bet going to be to decide if the Crash Bandicoot reboot is good or not?
Oh.
Now, are we saying if the reboot's good or just in general?
Just the remasters are doing, the three.
Wait, I'm gonna give you a hint on this. I'm going to go pee. That's how I feel about that particular question.
My God.
It's a Nick Scarpino move.
Yeah, no. My answer to that is I need to see the art style. Until I see the art, I cannot comment on the quality of the games. The thing is, if they're remastering from the ground up and they're just giving me those games, I recently replayed through two, and I confirmed they are fantastic games. Who loves Crash Bandicoot? Yeah. Screw you, Colin.
Wait. Where's the dude with the tattoo on his back of Crash Bandicoot? Come up here and take your shirt off, sir.
It's a kind of
when
funny
when you get
shirt.
The Ooga Booga mask, Ooga, I didn't play much about Crash Bandicoot. Kevin, I'm going to need a rack zoom on this gentleman's back.
It's a slow rack zoom.
Yeah, shout out to Skylanders and then bring it back, Crash Bandicoot. Come on. Come a little shout
one
out.
Guy.
I'll do something.
One
guy's
like, yeah!
They got neocortex, though. And now I have double mics. I don't know
all
why.
So turn around, but do it sexy and slow. Doom, 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 doom. I don't know sexy music.
I thought you were doing it in the jungle.
In the jungle, the thank you, sir.
Thank you. Shout out to Aku Aku. So, anyway, though, I do think they're going to be good. Yeah. I really, from every person I've talked to that's working on the game, they have personally came up to me and been like, Tim, we're not going to let you down with this. And I believe Gio Corsi. I believe him.
Okay.
To the bottom of my heart.
I believe in Gio Corsi, too.
But my thing, I still need to see the art style. Because that is going to be the question. Because if they don't nail that, I don't believe they can nail the gameplay. But if they do, it'll be good.
I think you and Colin should make a bet, though. That if it's good, you get something. If it's bad, you get something. Or, you know.
We can't hear
really
you.
Really hard to hear you.
You got to do it like this. Everybody who comes up, be Kanye.
Okay.
There it is.
All right. So what I meant to say is, if Colin thinks it's bad, if it is bad, and it is bad, but if it's good, what's the bet going to be?
Well, here's the thing with Colin. Colin doesn't like platformers unless they're Mega Man or Castlevania-ish. So maybe the original Mario games. If it's not those, they're no good. No good. Donkey Kong Country, trash. Crash Bandicoot,
and whatever
trash.
The bet is, Kong will weasel his way out of it as always.
It's true.
We wanted to bet $1,000 on the Fantasy Movie League, and Colin's like, it's too rich for my blood.
Excuse me? I was the one who wanted to bet $1,000 on Fantasy Movie League.
Don't know if I can pay for this.
And if we did bet that, Kevin would have won $4,000, and what you will remember,
Kevin, you can finance your whole wedding.
Kevin now wins $400. Kevin was what was you guys were talking shit about me?
No,
I'm trying to take a tinkle.
No. I was complimenting your love of Mega Man.
It's a superior game.
Yeah. To what? Everything?
Yeah, pretty much.
This is Joe from Fort Collins.
Joe, don't be afraid of that microphone.
All right, I'm right up in there. Okay,
With the release of the BioShock collection coming out soon, I know, Colin specifically, you love those games, but I'm not sure, did you ever finish in Infinite?
He did not.
No.
He did not. Terrible. It's got it's got a fantastic ending.
There's always a lighthouse, Joe.
I'm gonna jump back into when BioShock Collection comes out.
Now I'm gonna go pee.
Yeah, good, do it. Too much water and beer. When the collection comes out, I want to jump back into Infinite. Infinite to me felt like a shooter, and that's not what BioShock is. So I killed more people in an hour in Infinite than I killed in the entire game of BioShock, and that was detrimental to me. That wasn't the experience. The original BioShock is far superior to Infinite in my mind. I don't know how anyone could possibly disagree with that. BioShock is like one of the great games of all time.
Does anyone contest that? Does anyone like Infinite better? You're raising your hand. Okay, there you go.
So when the collection comes out, I've always meant to go back to it, but I was thinking yesterday when I was packing to come here, I was looking at my PS3, and I'm like, the last game I played on this was Tales of Exilia 2, which was in the fall of 2014, I think. So it's been a long time since I plugged it in, but no, I want to give it a go. People really respect and love that game, but it didn't drag me in. The original BioShock is an absolute masterpiece, and I just feel like Infinite is not that. But maybe I was judging it unfairly because I was comparing it to that game. But you do that when the game's called BioShock Infinite.
Are you planning on platinuming the first one again?
I do want to. Yeah, I platinumed the first one on PS3, and I'll platinum it again on PS4.
Cool.
Not as hard as it looks.
Tim, you haven't talked as extensively about it, so what is your opinion of that series?
So I'm one of those. I've said this many times on the Gamescast, but I kind of missed a lot of games during the PS3 360 generation. BioShock was one of them. So I am planning on playing BioShock when it comes to PS4 because I've heard many great things and many people that know my gaming tastes have said that I would love it. So I got to give it a shot.
Awesome. I hope you guys enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up we have John. Sweet also shorts. From Fort Collins.
My question is, which game within the next 6 months that's coming out are you most excited for, and which are you most likely to platinum?
There you go, Horizon.
6 months?
Yeah. September, October, November, December, January, February.
All right.
So 6 months.
I mean, I still got to give it to Final Fantasy 15. It's been so long. It needs to happen. So I'm going to give it to that. I want to play that now.
I didn't hear the question. What's happening?
Game in the next 6 months you're most excited about, and maybe you will platinum as well. I said Horizon. Tim
That's
said.
A good pick.
I will
Horizon's
not platinum
really good.
Final Fantasy 15. I can tell you that right now.
It's going to be awesome.
You said Horizon. You I still think that I well. Have. I still think when they put out that Arkham collection, whenever that happens, I think I might go back to Asylum and try to platinum Asylum.
Okay.
And then maybe that motivates me to platinum City because I have the Night Platinum.
Right. My guess was South Park, but
that's what I was thinking in my head. I mean, that's a good one too. I got the platinum in A Stick of Truth, and it's a very satisfying one. I thought
yes. I got that
I,
one.
I felt bad for you because you played it.
You
I played
it before
later.
Any guides got out. And so there's and I missed one trophies. Shin Pokemon, and I was like, I can't do it again. I'm sorry. I can't go back for the spaceship. Yeah. Shin Pokemon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We got Matt. Colorado
so real quick.
Yes, how much time do
we're doing three more.
Three more.
So one, two, three.
One, two, three.
Sorry,
so
guys. We love you.
What's up, guys?
Nothing. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Welcome to Colorado.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
So what do you guys think of DLC and microtransactions in games? You know, that I feel like it's greedy on the publishers. For example, Destiny. Huge Destiny fan. Super excited for Rise of Iron. But I'm just wondering your thoughts of the microtransactions, for example, the Uncharted 4 dances. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Honestly, I think for the most part, in console gaming, have weeded out the problems. Where I think it was, you had a season pass, you had this thing, you had your online pass. There's all this shit where we're like, that's really stupid, right? DLC I don't have a problem with. I like the idea of coming back for more gameplay. I'm excited that Uncharted 4 is still sitting on my cross-media bar because eventually I'm going to get a single-player DLC that I'm excited for. In terms of like microtransactions, I think it's a similar thing where it is like eventually you can unlock in-game currency to get the dance moves if you want, or you can pay for them right now. As long as it's a cosmetic, stupid thing that I want to jump to in DC Universe Online, that I want to buy that aura color to have that thing, did someone just murder a little girl when I said DC Universe Online? I'm fine with that. It's the same. It's when it always was, when we talked about when it was initially happening, of like, all right, you're getting a game-breaking problem. You're getting a gun that's better than everything. You're jumping five levels ahead when you're not there where you shouldn't be. That's when I think there's an issue. And I do think that microtransactions, and not DLC as much anymore, microtransactions are painted with a very broad and negative brush, when I think the majority of them are, hey, okay, replay tokens for an MMO you want to go play.
I'll paint with a broad brush. Microtransactions are predatory and destructive to gaming. And they come from a different space than console gaming. They come from the phone space. The phone space is garbage. And the race to the bottom there has ruined quality of games, ruined the ability of developers to make a living, ruined the ability of people to price things and show them that things should be worth, that game needs to cost money. So I think microtransactions, whether or not they interfere with the game, and Uncharted they don't, they're stupid, they're aesthetic. I still feel like in spirit, they're inherently predatory. A game should cost money, and you should pay for it, and you should get it. Now, I think DLC is different because DLC is like what you're saying with Rise of Iron, for instance, and, Fallout 4 stuff, whatever. Their new stories, their new maps, that's totally different. But with microtransactions, they come from a space that we should not want to replicate in console gaming. And frankly, you see that happening with the PSN. The PSN has a deluge of garbage on it the last year. There's no quality control there.
That's games overall, not
microtransactions. Yeah, but that is leaking in from a space of, you know, of being too accessible, of too cheap. There was a game that went on PSN on Tuesday that people were talking about. I can't remember the name of it. That totally steals assets from other games. That totally, like, and everyone's like, how, there's a huge thread on NeoGAF about it, like, how did this even get onto the PSN? And so that kind of stuff scares me. So anything that comes from the phone space, like, I am leery of it, to say the very least, because it is antithetical to the way we play games on console and PC. So that's my stance.
But what are the microtransactions you've seen that you have a huge problem with?
Well, anything that nickels and dimes someone, right? Like, when a game purports to be free, but it's not, when This is how King made billions of dollars, or sold the company to Activision for billions of dollars based on the back of Candy Crush, which is a free game, except for it's not. Why not have the balls and the boldness to charge for your game? If you believe in it, then charge for it. Like, we talked about Plants vs. Zombies 2, which was the last game I ever played on my iPad. This was, what, 5 years ago now, almost. Where I was like, I would have gladly paid $20 for this. But since you keep nickeling diming me, I won't give you a penny. I won't give you a single penny of it.
But so, are you seeing that on consoles? Because I'm not. That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it to a degree with Dust514 back on PS3. We're seeing it with, more and more games are creeping into the free-to-play model, which I don't think is commiserate to the way we play games on console. Whether or not they're predatory...
But is free-to-play a different argument than microtransactions?
No, because free-to-play thrives on microtransactions. That's the whole way they make money. Those two are not mutually exclusive. They actually exist in bed together always. 100% of the time, right? Can you think of a free-to-play game that doesn't use microtransactions?
No, of course, because, I mean, you're going through, but that's the point with free-to-play, right? That it is free-to-play to this point.
I just think that games should be worth a certain amount of money. It shouldn't be up to the player, in a sense. It's like, it should be up to the player at the point of purchase. Once you own the game, that should be your game, you know? And so I think that I have a huge problem with those. I just think that these particular things are very useful in many ways, these phones and the tablets, but they've been destructive, I think, to the way we look at the value of games. And I think that all goes back to microtransactions. God bless these companies that make a ton of money on them, but most of the companies that make iOS games and Android games crash and burn and make nothing. And that should tell you everything you need to know. People don't want to pay anymore.
I mean, I think that's the thing. That's going to lead to a space where, like what Greg was saying, where they're going to learn. And right now we're getting a whole bunch of really shitty games. But I think that in the next couple of years that's going to change. Like, I think right now with Overwatch, there's a lot of people upset about how they're handling the whole summer game situation with the microtransactions and all that stuff. And I guarantee they're not going to do that again. You know, they're seeing this feedback, and I think that it's going to really reflect how they do their business and how they keep going forward. And I think that games are going to keep going that way. I think there is a lot of good that can come from the phone space when it comes to gaming and stuff. And we're seeing it now with the console, the incremental upgrades and stuff, and what's going to happen with PS4 Neo and all that.
Who knows? Remains to be seen whether that's good.
It does. It does. But I think that things are changing. And I think that in the same way we were talking about Sean Murray earlier, like, we need to kind of look at change not as the worst thing ever, but kind of be like, all right, is it bad?
No, it's not necessarily bad, but remember what you get when you replicate the phone space. 50, 60, 70, 80,000 piece of shit games. The games that are you want to play are buried. No one wants to pay anyone for anything. And, you know, like, is that what you want? I would rather have a PSN with four games a month you know, that are like, that Sony's like, these are games we stand behind, these are great games, or we feel we believe in these games, as opposed to like, here's Arcade Archives, whatever, and here's Adventure Capitalist, that's free, but it's maybe not, and here, like, it's like, I don't know, there is an objective nature to quality, whether or not you appreciate the game or not, like, and I feel like that's something we can learn from the phone and tablet space. We don't want that. I don't want that. I mean, that's just me.
Okay.
Great. We have Brezzy from Denver.
Hi. I just got a quick question. I know you guys have a Nintendo World Championship. I was wondering if you guys have a plan of creating a PlayStation World Championship.
Seeing as I've never lost the Nintendo World Championship, all right, it seems silly
let's
to make a PlayStation
this clear
World
right
Championship.
Here.
How many belts can I have?
Was it last night?
Yeah.
My God, last night. In Chicago at Let's Play Live. This man cheated.
I didn't cheat.
Oh, you didn't? You're going to say you didn't cheat?
It was a Hot Pepper Gaming competition for the Nintendo World Championship. My controller had clearly been tampered with.
No, my controller literally died as we were playing. Shout out to the Wii U. And then Greg comes over and shoves more hot peppers in my mouth as I'm playing. Nah, that was not a just victory.
You shoved more in my mouth, so I think it all worked out.
Yeah, after you were declared the winner.
Well, I mean, that's just you were late to the party.
My God.
And our last question comes from CJ from Colorado.
Final question from CJ.
All right. Why do you guys feel that companies like Capcom and Konami are basically shooting themselves in the foot with these new, or, you know, these games? Like, no more Mega Man, no more Castlevania, Metal Gear, piece of shit, Survive.
I mean,
which you will all still buy.
I'm not buying that shit, man.
I feel for Konami, I think they just lost their way, right? I think they gave up on AAA gaming. I think they want to move in. They see how much money they're making in Pachinko. They're seeing they want to march off that way and do that thing. And then this Metal Gear thing is them being like, well, it is a franchise. It is something we can cash in on. It is what we can jump into. And what can they do? They can go and spin it off. And it's funny, Danny O'Dwyer, I don't know if you talked about it on the Gamescast or the exclusive that's not up with him yet. He put on Twitter, you know, he's like, I feel this is the biggest cop-out move from people who were offended that they were going to continue Metal Gear without Kojima, because here's a game that's happening, not in the current continuity, not affecting Big Boss. Why would you care suddenly? And it's like, well, I care because Metal Gear used to mean something. I knew what kind of game I was getting out of Metal Gear, and I'm not getting that here. Co-op zombie survival game is not Metal Gear in any fashion. And you can make jokes and arguments about Metal Gear Solid 5, and that was still an evolution of Peace Walker. There was a breadcrumb there, whereas Metal Gear multiplayer has never been something the mass audience has cared about.
I think they're two different companies. I think Konami doesn't know what it's doing, but I also think they don't want to be in this space. The only casualty that they have that I really care about is Castlevania. They gave it to Mercury Steam to do Lords of Shadow and Lords of Shadow 2. I think Lords of Shadow was actually a really good game, but Lords of Shadow 2 was not, and that studio clearly had no idea what Castlevania was. Meanwhile, Iga is making Bloodstained, which I just played for about a half an hour. We put a Let's Play up on our YouTube channel, and it's awesome.
YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames.
And so I think, like, I wish they would just relinquish control of that franchise to someone that knew what they were doing with it. And maybe the same with Contra, but to a lesser degree. Capcom is sadder because Capcom is still making games and they're still in the business and they're doing things right with some franchises like Resident Evil. Resident Evil 7 I think is going to be great, and it seems like they're interested in going back to the old good Resident Evil games, which, and by that I mean like 1, 2, 3, and 4. 5 obviously not really a good game. 6, I mean, I didn't even bother because we all knew where that was going. But then they have Mega Man, which they're not doing anything with. Street Fighter, it seems like people are kind of tepid on Street Fighter V.
Onimusha 3.
Yeah, Onimusha 3, which was, you know, really not a good game. So I don't know what Capcom is doing, but they want to be in this space. So they're different from Konami in that sense, where I feel like they just are confused. And I offered them many times, I'll write the new Mega Man game. Just let me write it. And then we can have, like, Capcom Vancouver produce it. And I'll straight up, I'm dead serious, I'll write it. So, and it'll be better than anything they make, I promise. But there were some rumors that Mega Man 9 and 10 were going to come to the new consoles, which is cool. But I don't know. It's kind of sad. Like when Mega Man's 25th anniversary came out, and it was, you could tell they didn't plan it, and they realized like 3 weeks before that they
oh,
released.
Oh shit! It's happening.
They released that Street Fighter Cross Mega Man fan game as like their celebration, which was bad. And I was like, come on, guys. Like, I understand Mega Man's not a big seller, but there's a lot of us that really love that franchise, and so it's been sad to see what happens to it. I don't know, but I mean, we have plenty of good games. It's kind of sad to see these publishers kind of self-destruct, but we have plenty of good stuff to focus on too.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been PS I Love You XOXO live from Denver, Colorado's Road to Greatness. There are two things I want to do before we end. Number one, everyone bunch together in the center. I'm coming down. We're taking a giant selfie. Ugh. So everybody get in here. Do what you got to do. You know, the camera's only so wide. Bunch in. You're not bunching in. There you go. Now you're bunching in. 3, 2, 1. Every episode of PS I Love You XOXO ends in a song and a segment we call Singing to Shuhei. Today, ladies and gentlemen, is a big day because guess what? In the front row is Sean, and this is his final day being a 19-year-old. Sean, stand up, take a bow, wave at everybody, say hi to everybody. He's wearing one of the least popular Kind of Funny shirts of all time. Not many people bought it. So we will end today in a song sung by all of us. It's called Happy Birthday. His name is Sean. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sean. Sean! Happy birthday to you. Thank you all for coming out to Road to Greatness. Thank you all for being awesome in Denver, Colorado. Thank you and good night.